Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with arguments before the Supreme Court in McCutcheon versus the FEC that could strike down any remaining limits on spending on candidates and parties. Senator Bernie Sanders, who was in the Supreme Court and later spoke on the steps afterwards, joins us to discuss whether the court will further empower a few billionaires like those behind the Tea Party shutdown, who are radically altering the American political landscape, moving the country further and further to the right. Then we'll speak with Princeton historian Sean Wilentz, who has an article in Monday's New York Times, Obama and the Debt, which points out that the 14th Amendment was intended to prevent precisely the abuses that the current House Republicans blithely condone. We will discuss how the Republican Party made payment of our debts part of their 1868 platform, declaring that national honor requires the payment of the public indebtedness in the utmost good faith to all creditors at home and abroad, pronouncing any repudiation of the debt a national crime. Then finally, we examine the role of the U.S. Catholic bishops in encouraging the House Republicans to take the current hostage-taking course, while at the same time expressing their concern for the record rate of 1 in 5 children in poverty, as well as the 49 million Americans who are food insecure. Adele Stan, who specializes in covering the intersection of religion and politics as RH Reality Check's senior Washington correspondent, joins us to discuss her latest article, At Any Cost, How Catholic Bishops Pushed for a Shutdown and Even a Default Over Birth Control. And joining us now is Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders was elected to the United States Senate in 2006 after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He's the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history. Welcome to Background Briefing, Senator Sanders.
Good to be with you.
And, Senator, you were on the steps of the Supreme Court after having gone into the court to hear the oral arguments in McCutcheon versus the FEC. Let's start with the actual oral arguments. To your mind, who equipped themselves the best? Those on McCutcheon's side, the millionaire who...
Well, to my mind, and this is actually the very first time that I have been to an argument in the Supreme Court, so it was kind of interesting. But to my mind, it really was unworldly in the sense that I'm not quite sure that all of these guys on the Supreme Court have a sense in terms of what happens in the real world politically. In the real world, what we are seeing right now is the devastating impact of big money on the political process, made even worse by Citizens United. And if this court case goes in favor of big money, it will only make a very, very bad situation a lot worse. What you'll see is the end of limitations in terms of the ability of big money just to even spend more than they currently are.
So given the extent to which Citizens United has already changed the landscape, did you get any sense, Senator Sanders, that any of these conservative justices know what that ruling has wrought?
I'm not sure. Certainly not Scalia. Not Alito. Who knows? Maybe the Chief Justice, maybe Roberts, may have some understanding. But I think these guys, in fact, are really separated from what goes on. Right now, let me just give you one example, Ian, which people should know about. As everybody knows, we're in the midst of this horrendous government shutdown. What people don't know is one of the reasons that this has not yet ended is in the House right now, you have House members, the extreme right wing, who are telling other members that if they are prepared to vote for a clean, continuing resolution, they will face a primary and they will face a unlimited amount of money in opposition to them. And that's what Citizens United is all about. So you stand up and you try to do maybe the right thing, in this case, open up the government. And what you're going to be faced with is, you know, people like the Koch brothers and others who have huge amounts of money who are prepared to spend millions to defeat you. This is undermining American democracy, and to give even more ability to big money people to influence the political process is beyond comprehension.
Well, I must say I find it extraordinary, Senator Sanders, that three individuals, David and Charles Koch and Rupert Murdoch, combined have moved this country so far to the right in the last few decades, it's breathtaking. And the idea that a couple of billionaires with almost unlimited funds can set up this mechanism that terrorizes, in fact, it is a form of terrorism, that terrorizes moderate...
You make a great point, and that is the point, and that's what Citizens United has done. And what we're looking at, and people should understand this, and I've been trying to make this point on the floor of the Senate, is if anybody thinks that this is just about the Affordable Care Act, about Obamacare, and trying to defund that, they would be sorely mistaken. This is part of the extreme right-wing agenda, which essentially wants to repeal every major piece of legislation passed in the last 80 years, which protect the interest of working people, the elderly, the children, the sick, the poor, the environment. That's what they want to do. And the difficulty of these so-called negotiations right now, or the debate right now, is that if you submit it to this blackmail, I will guarantee you 100% that they will be back again and again. And maybe next time they will say, well, you know what? We're going to shut down the government unless you make drastic cuts in Social Security or you privatize it. Or we're going to shut down the government unless you repeal the minimum wage or you do away with the Environmental Protection Agency. They have a right-wing agenda which calls for bringing this country back into the 1920s, moving us to an oligarchic form of society where the people like Sheldon Adelson and the Koch brothers and a few other billionaires really control the economics and politics of this nation. That is what this whole process is about.
And it would seem that the rubric by which they're operating is the sky is falling over the deficits, and the deficits are just a stalking horse to
absolutely
reduce the taxes on the rich, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, here's what the point. The truth of the matter is that we have reduced the deficit from about $1.4 trillion to $700 billion in the last few years. What is, if you go up to the average person in California, Vermont, or any place else, and you say, what do you see the major domestic problem facing America? What do they say overwhelmingly in every single poll done in the last many years? What they say, it is jobs and the economy. That's what people say. Real unemployment today is not 7.4%. It is close to 14%. Youth unemployment is a lot higher than that. African-American youth unemployment is close to 40%. Wages have gone down for tens of millions of American workers who in many cases are working longer hours for lower pay. What people are saying is we need an economy in which we have decent paying jobs and we have enough jobs so that people are not facing unemployment. That is the issue that people are concerned about. Is the deficit important? Yeah, it is. And we've made some progress in that deficit in the last few years. People want us to focus now on the economy. And when we're caught up in all of this stuff, there is no discussion about how we create millions of jobs, no discussion about how we raise the minimum wage, no discussion about how we make college more affordable, and how we address the real serious issues facing the middle class.
And again, I'm speaking with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2006 after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He's the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history, and today he attended the arguments in McCutcheon versus the FEC at the Supreme Court and later spoke on the steps of the Supreme Court, where you said, Senator Sanders, freedom of speech, in my view, does not mean the freedom to buy the United States government. And what was the response from the people there?
Well, the people that I spoke to who are actively involved in the issue of campaign finance reform obviously agreed. And I think most Americans do. It's, you know, this is one of the interesting issues where you have conservatives, you have progressives, you have moderates, Democrats, Republicans, independents coming together. You go out on the streets and you say, do you think it's okay for people like the Koch brothers who are worth $70 billion to be able to spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars deciding who's going to be the governor of Wisconsin, who's going to be president of the United States, who's going to be in the United States Senate here, what the legislative agenda will be in the United States Congress, and people say, you're nuts. That's absurd. That's crazy. That's not what a democracy is about. And they're right. Nobody believes this makes sense. except the billionaires who want to have more power and whose greed appears to be never-ending.
But, of course, the billionaires, the constituents of these Tea Party Congress people who are both shutting down the government at the moment and threatening to tank the economy, they in many ways support their representatives based upon, in effect, economic illiteracy. One of the arguments out now is that the debt ceiling is not that important. I'm astounded, frankly, that Wall Street hasn't weighed in some more. There's quite a lot of very, very senior analysts on Wall Street who are very complacent, saying, oh, this is never going to happen. The chance of a default is zero. You're there on the Hill. I don't have that sense that these people are bluffing.
Well, I think you may very well be right. We'll find out soon enough. I think what you have is a couple of things. What you're looking at is people should not see this as a debate over Obamacare. This is a huge ideological debate by the extreme right wing who want to repeal virtually every major piece of legislation passed in the last 8 years. So they certainly do not want to see the federal government playing a role in providing health insurance today to people who don't have it. But much more than that, they want to end Medicare as we know it right now, move it into a voucher program. They want to make massive cuts in Medicaid. They don't want Medicaid expanded. They want to make Medicaid decimated. These guys want to end Social Security. Ian, these guys, and they're upfront about it. They're upfront about it. People don't know this. You know, we're having a debate right now in Congress, or at least some of us are supporting legislation to raise the minimum wage because we think we have tens of millions of workers who are making less than $10 an hour, can't raise a family, starvation wages. Do you know what the majority of the Republicans now in Congress believe in terms of the minimum wage? Do you know what they believe?
What?
For them, it is not a question of whether or not you raise the minimum wage. They believe we should abolish the concept of the minimum wage. So that in a high unemployment area in the United States, say Detroit, or some other high unemployment area, if somebody was desperate enough to have to work for $3 or $4 an hour, our right-wing friends see that as freedom because we've gotten the government out of the business of putting a floor on wages. That an employer can hire an employee for any wage that both of them agree to. Isn't that just what freedom is all about? And if in America people are working for $3, $4 an hour, isn't that great? That's what these guys believe. That's true. I mean, and this is what many, many members, Republican members of the United States Congress believe. That's their understanding of freedom. So what people have got to appreciate is this stuff is a lot more than Obamacare. What this stuff is an extremist right-wing agenda funded by people like the Koch brothers and others who want to really create an America in their vision, which is really an oligarchic type of society where a few people on top have unbelievable control over the political process and the economy as well.
And that's where we're heading if we're not already there. I mean, I understand the motives of the Koch brothers. They don't want a government. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. But why would American people think that total laissez-faire economy run by oligarchs would in any way benefit them? That's the part that I find...
That's a good question, worthy of a longer discussion than we have time for now. But it has to do with, among other things, the lack of a strong labor movement in America, which is clearly being targeted by these very same people. It has to do with a corporately owned media, so that if you live in many states in this country where you have right-wing political leadership, you're never going to hear a progressive point of view. You're never going to learn that the United States, for example, is the only country in the industrialized world that doesn't guarantee health care to all people as a right. How many people in America even know that? You know, the I hear right now, Obamacare, which is, in my view, kind of a moderate Republican-type approach, which expands health insurance to 20, 25 million Americans, still leaving 25 million without health insurance, by the way. We are behind, with Obamacare, we're still behind every other major country. How many American people even know that? How many people know that we spend twice as much per person on health care as do the people of any other major country with worse health outcomes in many respects. So we are a country where political consciousness is not terribly high, and that's a combination of very effective work done by the right wing, a corporately controlled media, a weak labor movement, and a Democratic Party, which is certainly not doing the kinds of things it needs to be doing in standing up for working people and putting the Republicans on the defensive. I mean, in that regard, one of the things that I am fighting for here is to see if we can change the rules here in the Senate so we don't need 60 votes for at least a few month period and push through some serious legislation which creates jobs, which raises wages, which really deals with the crisis of college affordability, which deals with equal pay for equal rights, which deals, in fact, moving toward a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. So the American people have got to see that there is some action by some people that is trying to defend their interests. And I'm afraid in many cases they don't, and they don't pay attention, and the Koch brothers and those guys can just keep going.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Senator Sanderson, for fighting the good fight, and hopefully people listening to us will recognize that they have to join this fight before they lose their country.
That's exactly correct. Ian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders was elected to the United States Senate in 2006 after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He is the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history, and today he attended the oral arguments in the Supreme Court in the case of McCutcheon versus the FEC and later spoke on the steps of the Supreme Court. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about how the Republicans originally brought forth the 14th Amendment, saying any repudiation of the debt is a national crime.
It's the money.